and welcome to the 20th episode of the Football South Coast Weekly. There were plenty of goals across round 5 of the men's premiership. To start with the Illawarra Mercury Premier League, where on Friday night, Bulleh edged past Cronulla 2-1 at Cream Park. Guy Knight and Mitchell Turco got the goals for the visitors, earning the side's second win in a row. Moving on to Saturday afternoon, beginning with Wollongong United securing a 3-1 win against Bulambi at Elizabeth Park. Mason Versey, Mitsu Yamada and Dinko Terzic all scored in the first half, ensuring United's unbeaten start to the division continued. In the other game on Saturday afternoon, Port Kembla played out a 2-2 draw with Tarawana at Wetherill Park. Jordan Nikolovsky continued his impressive goalscoring record this year, netting a late equaliser for the hosts. In the earlier kickoff on Saturday night, Wollongong Olympic maintained their perfect start to this season with a commanding 3-0 win against Coniston at JJ Kelly Park. Tori Musumesi opened the scoring midway through the first half before Josh McDonald scored a brace in the match. Cameron Morgan was the star of the show in Albion Park's 3-0 win over South Coast United in McLennan Park, with the striker scoring all three goals, making it 5 goals in his past 2 matches. And in the District League, all games were on Saturday. Shell Cove once again won big, this time a 4-1 victory against Picton at Barrack Heights Sports Field, as Mimi Aldo and Tommy Markovsky both found the net twice. Berkeley snapped a 3-game losing streak with a 1-0 win at home against Kiama. James Walker found the winner on the hour mark. Helensburgh were another side to have a big win, defeating Oak Flats 5-1 at Keith Bond Oval. Brad Watts, Lee Municombe and Cade Kinsella all scored for the Thistle in what was their second win in a row after that defeat to Warilla in round 3. Balgownie earned themselves an impressive win at King Mickey Park against Rilla, getting up 3-2. Chris Hollingshead continued his prolific start to the campaign with another brace. In a 9-goal thriller at Ray Robinson Field, Unanderra overcame Fernhill 5-4 to extend their 100% record in the league this year. Braces for Fernhill's Mitch Turner and Will Roberts were not enough, as Hearts skipper Christian Plakias and Orkanaz both found the net twice, while Brad Moreira also scored for Unanderra. And finally, University and Thirroul played out a 1-1 draw on UOW Oval 1, with Daniel Arthur scoring for the third week running for the Thunder. We will now get into the previews for this week. And with me again for this week is Nathan Turner. Nathan, how are you?
Good, thanks, Tim. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad at all. What did you make of last round's fixtures?
We had a bit of everything, I think, Tim, across the two divisions. We had the comeback from Winoona, the 9-goal haul between Fernhill and Unanderra, and a couple of really big grudge matches. So it was a very interesting round to in Illawarra football, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, it was a big win for Wollongong Olympic as well, remaining unbeaten in the division. And we will actually begin with Wollongong Olympic with the first fixture on Saturday afternoon in the Illawarra Mercury Premier League as they host South Coast United at the PCYC. So Olympic, they did continue their 100% record, as mentioned, a 3-0 win against Coniston. Josh McDonald with a brace and Tori Musumesi also getting on the score sheet. I mean, you'd suggest now that every hurdle that seems to be placed in front of them this season, they're being able to jump it quite easily.
Yeah, they'll definitely put up to the test against Coniston. I know how well Coniston started the start of the season, and Olympic sort of, yeah, attacked that hurdle with pretty much confidence, and they went through and got the result in that one as well. So they're flying high in all competitions, and we will mention that they did come away with a 2-1 win in the FFA Cup fixture as well midweek. So it's all going positives for Wollongong Olympic recently.
And they will be without goalkeeper Jason Bleakley for what you would say now is a very tough run of fixtures, starting with this game against Wollongong Olympic. You would say definitely, Nathan, that it's not getting any easier for this South Coast United side.
Yeah, definitely not, Tim. As I said, we spoke about it in the last few weeks about them sort of getting the season running with maybe even a point here or there, but it's hasn't been the best start from them. They're 0-5 to start the season. It does not get any easier for them this weekend against the Olympic side, who have gone 5-0 to start the season. It'll be definitely a tough game for them.
And I'm presuming you're going to say here Wollongong Olympic to win this game?
Yeah, I don't think you can go past it. Just telling how well Wollongong Olympic have been playing recently, I think they'll get the job done here quite easily.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think Wollongong Olympic, the run of form they are on at the moment and the momentum that's with them right now, you'd suggest that this would be quite an easy task for them. But I mean, if South Coast United were to pick up any sort of result, it would probably, or it'd almost definitely be the shock of the round. However, I do just feel that Wollongong Olympic are simply too strong in this game. Looking at the next game on Saturday afternoon, Tarrawonna against Coniston at Tarrawonna Oval. So the Blueies, they had a 2-2 draw with Port Kembla, which I guess is perhaps a bit of a disappointing result for them considering the run that they were on. But by that same token, we've already seen, you know, Port Kembla's quality this year and their capacity to stay in games and come back from games. There's a lot of quality in this squad.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be too disappointed in that fixture. I know they could have come away with the win. They were leading 2-1 till late on in the game before Jordan Nikoloski equalised late on to snatch a point for Port Kembla. But, you know, Tarrawonna, they started the season very poorly. I know they versed two of the best sides in the competition, and they come up with back-to-back losses. But since then, they've picked up seven points in their last three games, including 2-3-0 wins against, you know, sides that they should be beating in and around them on the table. So it might be just a little bit of a blip in the road for them, but I think the quality's there, and it's probably just moving on to next week as well.
Well, looking at Coniston now, who themselves have had a little bit of a wobble now. It was two defeats in a row with that 3-0 defeat to Wollongong Olympic. But admittedly, I mean, they've played against two of the top sides in the division and two sides that are still unbeaten in Albion Park, where they did go down 2-1 and now 3-0 to Wollongong Olympic. Do you think that they will be able to get back on track after this little bit of a wobble here?
Yeah, look, it's a definite possibility. You know, Tarrawonna, as you said, Tim, as we said before, that they didn't sort of compete with those top two teams in the competition, in strong teams in Bulla and Wollongong United in the first opening two rounds. And, you know, Coniston are doing the same. They're a little bit closer in the games against, you know, the White Eagles and Wollongong Olympic over the weekends. But both these sides are sort of flipped on form. You know, Tarrawonna started their season a bit slow and have built from there, whereas Coniston have done the opposite. So it's probably a perfect weekend for these two teams to play each other. And it's going to be a close game. It could go either way.
Yeah, I think for this one here, I will say a draw. I think that, as you mentioned, both sides are sort of on opposite sides of the form at the moment. But I think that they will just cancel each other out in this one.
Look, I'm going to pick a winner. I'm going to go the Blueies in this one. I believe that, you know, just their recent run of form has really built some confidence down there in Tarrawonna. And, you know, heading into this round, I think Coniston might be a bit of shot on confidence at the moment, you know, after that 3-0 loss against Wollongong Olympic. So I'm going to back the Blueies to get the win.
Looking at the final game on Saturday afternoon in the Illawarra Premier League, Albion Park against Winoona at Terry Reserve. So the White Eagles, they are still unbeaten after that 3-0 win against South Coast United. Cameron Morgan picking up a hat-trick, making it 5 goals in 2 games. And it is also the first time that they've scored more than 2 goals in a game this season. Nathan, would you suggest that that's definitely a huge confidence booster, that result against South Coast?
Yeah, massive one. You know, we talked about their slow start to the season, but saying that, they were still getting the wins, but we didn't see sort of the best to come for the White Eagles. And I think they're slowly building towards that in recent weeks since, you know, Ivan Checkley has taken charge. And, you know, I think it's a very positive that Cameron Morgan's firing as well. And, you know, he's their main goal getter as well up front for them. And if they can, you know, give him more of the ball, get a few more of the players around him on the score sheet as well, they're going to be a real force to be reckoned with in the coming weeks.
And speaking of another side that has certainly started to pick up a bit of momentum, the Sharks. I mean, they did make it 3 wins in a row, that 3-2 win against Corrimal, and they were 2-0 down in the game, but they managed to fight back into that one with Jesse French eventually getting the winner. Corey Hensgrohe on the score sheet again. I mean, they've clearly found their feet in the division, wouldn't you say, Nathan?
Yeah, since those first two games, conceding 8 goals, they've only conceded the 4 in the last 3, which is a big positive as well. We spoke about how good the Sharks' defense was throughout their title-winning season last year, and we haven't obviously seen the best of it so far in 2021, but I think it's really coming together for them in the attacking sense, and that does have big credits to Corey Hensgrohe returning to Ocean Park as well. So yeah, they're on the ups from here too.
And what are you thinking for a prediction in this game here?
Yeah, look, I really like both teams. As we said, both of them are pretty informed, have picked up a couple wins in their last few games, and it's going to be a very competitive contest. But I just think, you know, the White Eagles, I've been really liking their football lately. Cameron Morgan absolutely firing in these last couple of games. So I just think they're going to be too strong at home as well.
I'm actually going to say Winuna to win this one. I think that the momentum that they are on at the moment, and I think this is a real opportunity for them to sort of go and get that statement result for this season, because I think that the run they've been on, and they've shown that they can come back into games, you know, going 2-0 down against Corrimal, but fighting back to win that one. I think that that's a real confidence booster for them, building on the previous two wins on the weekend where they played against South Coast United and Bulambi, and I'll be backing them to make it 4 in a row here. And the first game that we'll talk about on Sunday afternoon, Bulleye against Bulambi at Bulls Paddock. So Bulleye, they did pick up a 2-1 win against Cringilla on Friday night. Guy Knight and Mitch Del Turco got the goals for the side. They are unbeaten in their last four, and they are now starting to pick up those wins against the sides we would expect them to after that start where they did play Olympic and United, failing to win either of those. Now we're starting to see them sort of accumulate a few points, which is pushing them up the table a little bit.
Yeah, it's looking like the Bulleye that we sort of know and sort of know that they're going to play good football as well. So definitely looking out for them in coming weeks. You know, picking up 3 wins in their last 4 games. Obviously, that draw against Wollongong United in round 3, the other result in that time. But I think a lot of credits goes to Ben McDonald up top. We talk about Cameron Morgan sort of finding his form up front, but I think Ben McDonald has really been firing for Bulleye lately, scoring his 5th goal in the last 4 games as well. So he's a big inclusion for him again this year, as he's been for many years recently. So if they can continue him firing, they're going to continue getting the wins.
And their opponents, the Rosellas, continued their tough start to the campaign, going down 3-1 to Wollongong United. They were, in fact, 3-0 down at halftime, but Brett Wilson got them a goal back in the second half to make it 3-1. It's another tough test for them this weekend.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier for the Rosellas, I think, Tim. That Brett Wilson goal was their first since round 2 against the Albion Park White Eagles in that 1-1 draw. So, yeah, it's been a very tough start for the Rosellas in that one. So, they've got Bulleye this weekend, and then they look to congeal us as well. So if they can sort of nab a result out of Bulleye this weekend, which, you know, we've seen that they've done already with the White Eagles, then they'll be looking to get a bit of confidence going into sort of versing those teams around them on the table.
I think for this one, I will definitely be backing Bulleye. I think this is another game similar to the Cringilla one where they do need to pick up points, and I will be backing them to do that here against Bulambi.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there, Tim. I just think, you know, the quality of the Bulleye show in attack, I think that'll just cancel out any form of upset for Bulambi. So, yeah, I'll back Bulleye as well.
Looking at the second to last game that we will discuss, another game on Sunday afternoon, Corrimal against Cringilla at Memorial Park. So the Rangers, as previously mentioned, despite being 2-0 up at one stage, they did go down 3-2 to Winuna. And you would say that defensively, they're still having those issues. They average conceding 3 goals a game at the moment, and it is just 1 win in 5 games this season. It definitely isn't the start that they would have wanted here, but Cringilla potentially, you know, this is an opportunity for them to perhaps pick up another win this season.
Yeah, it hasn't been the best start for them defensively. They're the second worst defensive side in the competition behind South Coast United, just by 3 goals. But they have scored 11 goals in their first 5 games, which is more than, you know, Albion Park White Eagles sitting in second. I think we did mention that last week as well. So they're no shy of scoring goals. It's just obviously at the back, they sort of need to fix things up. And it's probably the perfect week to do so as well against Cringilla, who, you know, aren't too good in scoring goals as well so far this season. They've scored just the 3 in their first 5 games. So it might be the perfect opportunity to sort of turn the Rangers season around.
Well, and I think Cringilla will also look towards this game with optimism. They have brought in a new coach in Michael Gabevsky, and they have finished that really tough run to start the season, you know, playing the top 5 from last year. However, they do sit on just 1 point so far this year. So I guess looking at the other perspective, is this an opportunity for the Lions to get some points on the board after that difficult start?
100%. A new coach sort of brings in a bit of spark for a club. I know we talked about that with the White Eagles just a few weeks ago. Just obviously those players wanting to prove their worth with a new coach and sort of showing that they deserve the spot in the side. And I believe these next few weeks are going to be perfect for them in that sense as well, to pick up a few points. You know, you've got Corrimal this weekend, followed by Bulambi and Port Kembla. So very interesting run of fixtures for the Lions in the coming weeks, and we'll just have to see where they go when they take them.
And what are you thinking heading into this one?
Yeah, look, I think it's a very big game for both sides in the competition. I believe this game could really kickstart their seasons. Obviously, both sides haven't had the best sort of run of form, but I really liked Corrimal in patches in the early stages of the season, especially in their attack, as I mentioned, scoring those 11 goals as opposed to Cronulla's just scoring 3. So I believe if, you know, Corrimal's defense can get it right and really shut out the Lions' attack, which they've, you know, had a trouble to do this year, I think Corrimal will come away with the win.
I think I'm actually going to say Cronulla to win this game. I think that difficult start for them, this is a real opportunity to get out of Corrimal's side that defensively have really struggled so far this year. And I think bringing in the new coach as well, perhaps a little bit of momentum heading into this game. So I'm actually going to say the Lions to win this one. And looking at the final game that we will discuss in another game on Sunday afternoon, Port Kembla against Wollongong United at Wetherill Park. So Port Kembla, they are winless in their last four games, having that 2-2 draw with Tarawana. However, Jordan Nikolovsky was on the score sheet again. I mean, what have you made of this Port Kembla start so far? Because it has been a little bit indifferent, but in patches, they've certainly shown that they can be quite competitive.
Yeah, I mean, for a team that, you know, they're only sitting on 5 points, which is, you know, a win and two draws as opposed to those two losses against, you know, two of the best teams in the competition in Olympic and the White Eagles. I think they've done really well. Obviously, at the start of the season, they were picked towards the bottom of the table of the Premier League, and they've sort of shown, as you said, very quality football in patches, and they've scored in every game so far that they've played. 12 goals in their first five games. And obviously that's very reliant on Jordan Nikolovsky, their newest signing. So if they can sort of continue their form up front, I believe they can, you know, definitely push those higher sides on the table and even in results like this one, fixtures like this one.
Well, I mean, their opponents, Wollongong United, they did pick up that win against Bulambi 3-1. Mason Versey, Mitsu Yamada and Dinko Terzic all on the score sheet, and they are only one of three teams that are still unbeaten in the division this year. They're starting to pick up a little bit of momentum now, aren't they, Nathan?
Yeah, they had a couple of draws in a row in the last few weeks before picking up that, you know, that good win against Bulambi on the weekend. But I just want to mention that they still haven't yet to keep a clean sheet. And I think that's something Ollie Vukovsky would really want to be sort of fixing going into games against sort of big teams, and especially games against sort of very quality attacking sides in Port Kembla. And we talked about in recent weeks how good Wollongong United can be defensively, especially looking at last season where they were one of the best defensive sides in the competition, and that's where they ended up winning the grand final. But, you know, if they can sort of tighten things up at the back, and I'm not saying that that's the main problem for them, because they're still winning the games, they're still getting the job done up front. But I believe, yeah, it'll be a very good test to keep the clean sheet this week.
And will you be backing Wollongong United to win this one?
Yes, I will, Tim. I just think they have got the quality to score goals and obviously keep teams out at the back, especially in those teams such as Port Kembla, who have such a good start up front. But they have scored in, as I said, Wollongong United have scored in every game so far. So, yeah, I'm going to back United.
I think I'll agree with you on that one. I just feel that Wollongong United this season, they certainly have been one of the strongest sides in the division here. And I think that they will just simply be too strong for Port Kembla, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if Port Kembla went and put in a really good performance again. And that does conclude the preview for the Illawarra Mercury Premier League for this week. And Nathan and I will discuss the District League next. Before we do get into the preview for the District League, earlier this week I did speak with Balgownie striker Chris Hollingshead. Here's what he had to say. So thanks for joining me today, Chris. I guess an easy place to start is with last weekend. An impressive and, I guess, and also an unexpected victory against Rilla. You did get a brace in that one, but what did you make of the overall display of the side?
Well, as a team, we've sort of, the last couple of weeks, we've been struggling to hold together as a team and score goals, or if not, stop goals. Our defence really hasn't helped us in any way, but yeah, it was good to get the win. We left it nice and late to make it interesting for everyone, but yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, and just generally, I mean, you mentioned there that defensively perhaps, you know, there have been issues in the team, but overall this season, what have you made of how Balgownie have fared?
Well, getting the win nice and early against Coamo was really helpful to get off to the good start, but I guess having two tough opponents in Helensburgh and Unanderra, conceding goals early, and then in both games in the second half was a nil all. That was a bit harsh, but yeah, coming up against Barilla, which we'd played a couple times in the preseason cup and also in the Burt Bampton, which we got a win in the Burt Bampton and we lost some penalties in the preseason. So it's looking promising, but yeah, we're still sort of stringing a defensive team together. We've gotten a couple guys coming up from reserve grade helping out, and they're really doing the job that's needed. So once we find that defensive line, I think that's when we'll really start stringing together some wins.
And just moving on to you personally, I mean, throughout your playing time in the Illawarra, you've always been a goal scorer. Last year, you did earn the Player of the Season and the Golden Boot for the youth grade competition. Did you feel that was a good platform for you heading into, I guess, what is sort of your first full year in first grade?
Yeah, it was. It helped with the confidence and things like that. And even getting a few runs in the first grade, that youth grade season that I had last year really helped sort of ease my way into it. But yeah, it's been a good challenge, but we're only just getting started.
And I mean, the amount of goals that you have scored this year is pretty impressive for a young player like yourself, playing in, you know, as mentioned, what is essentially your first full year in first grade. I mean, you must really be enjoying your football at the moment with the number of goals you're scoring.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun week in, week out. Yeah, there's always thread a week where I don't score a goal, but there's always going to be some. But yeah, no, it's been good. But I'm aiming for the Golden Boot this season, but we'll see where we can go.
And what do you feel has been behind your goal scoring form this year? Do you think it's just, you know, all the practice of previous years, or is it sort of something you've particularly worked on this year heading up into first grade?
Yeah, well, it was weird. So as a junior, I was always a defender and had a couple of years off playing, and I moved to Balgownie, and that's where I found myself playing as a striker. But I think the thing that's really helped me is my speed and getting in behind players and, yeah, working well off the ball. And it's good always to have people around you that know like how you play and things like that. So, yeah, it's always been a bonus, and playing around my mates for a while so that they understand the way I play. And, yeah, we've been able to string a few good seasons together, youth grade and under 18s and things like that. So yeah, has really helped.
And just finally, you do have a bit of a difficult trip, you know, facing Fern Hill this weekend. How are you looking to approach that one?
I think if we approach with the same mindset we came in with last week, it's been really well, been coming together really well. We got the win last night against Rule in the cup game, which was really helpful coming into this weekend. But what we can really do as a team is just make sure that we're not conceding any goals, any loose goals. And if we do, we really switch on, start putting our head down, getting the job done nice and early.
Thank you for your time.
Cheers. Thank you.
Moving on to the People Care District League now, and all the games are going to be played on Saturday afternoon. The first of which we will discuss: Shell Cove against Kiama at Barrack Heights Sports Field. So Shell Cove, they made it four wins in a row. Another big scoreline, a 4-1 win against Picton. Mimieldo picking up two goals, as well as Tommy Markovsky with a brace. I mean, Nathan, their goal scoring, it's just continued on into this game against Picton here, and they are looking like a really strong side this year.
Oh, they're absolutely on fire, I think, in front of goal. 21 goals in their first five games in the competition. That's the most out of the top two divisions. And, you know, I think, as you said, we can definitely give credits to Mimieldo for that one. He's picked up another brace in that one, so he just can't stop scoring. So, a lot of positives and a lot of momentum coming from Shell Cove in recent weeks.
Yeah, and you would expect that they would be able to pick up another win here against the Quarriers, who did go down 1-0 to Berkeley, meaning they have lost four of their opening five games, just that one-all draw against Warilla this season. I mean, confidence must be really low at the moment, and you would suggest that again here against Shell Cove, they're going to really struggle.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting one. Similar to the Premier League with Olympic and South Coast United, it's first v last. But you look at the difference between, you know, the last sort of place in District League and what Kiama around, what the sides around Kiama are sitting like. They've only conceded the 9 goals in the first 5 games. But you look at, you know, teams up in the top 5 like Oak Flats and University have conceded 13 and 11. So I believe defensively they're actually a lot better this year than what they've been in recent years. And the results aren't sort of very negative on the Quarriers. I mean, 2-1 losses, 2-0 losses. That's those sort of games like that. So if they can sort of grind out a fixture, then they might be able to snag a point, but it's going to be a very difficult task in against Shell Cove this weekend, who are full of attacking qualities.
I will be backing Shell Cove to win this one. I just think the run of form that they are on, the goal-scoring form they're in as well, just suggests another win for Shell Cove in this one.
Yeah, I can't go past it either, Tim. Mimi Yaldo for another big game, I think, and Shell Cove to make it 5 in a row.
Looking at the next game, Picton Rangers against University at Hume Oval. So the Rangers did go down 4-1 to Shell Cove, as previously mentioned. But you would suggest here that it was always going to be a tough ask against a free-scoring Shell Cove side.
Yeah, it was always going to be a difficult task going down to Shell Cove, especially with, you know, Picton's form after 3 losses. But they did pick up that win against Berkeley last weekend, to get up 2-0 over them in that one as well. But I might mention that they were only 2-1 down, picked until about the 79th, 80th minute before Tommy Markovsky's late brace sort of pushed it out to a 4-1 victory. So if they can sort of hold out teams for a longer period of time instead of conceding those goals earlier, I think they can definitely have a chance in the next few weeks.
Well, I mean, it is potentially an opportunity for them to do that against a student side that are winless in their last 2 games. Most recently, that 1-1 draw with the Rule. How do you think University are feeling heading into this one against Picton side that you mentioned? You know, they can stay in games.
Yeah, it's going to definitely be a tough task for University. You know, they can't. It's never easy going up to the Hume and playing Picton on their home turf as well. But yeah, the last 2 weeks is probably not their best football. 4-0 loss followed by that 1-1 draw with the Rule. And you know, we spoke about how important it is to take points to, you know, get maximum points off those sides that are sitting low on the table, and they just couldn't do that against the Rule on the weekend. It was 1-1 at halftime, and sort of game just shut out from there. But yeah, it's looking very worrying signs for University in recent weeks. But it could be a definite turnaround for them against Picton if they can get a result in this one as well.
I think this one here, I am going to say Picton to win it. I think that, you know, that yes, they had that disappointing result against Shell Cove, but I feel, you know, they can be quite competitive here, and they might be able to capitalise on a University side that confidence may be a little low after, you know, not winning their last 2 games.
Yeah, that's definitely a big factor going into this one, I think. You know, University coming off those the disappointing draw and then that even that more disappointing loss against Shell Cove. So they're going to be low on confidence. But also saying that, that's sort of the time for teams to turn things around after a couple of disappointing games, that they sort of click on the next fixture and they want to get, you know, a decent result in that one. And look, I don't think they're going to go all the way and get the win, but I think it's going to end as a stalemate, as much as I hate picking a draw. But I think both these teams are just going to cancel each other out.
Looking at the next game, Balgownie against Fern Hill at Judy Masters Oval. So the Rangers really did pick up a huge win for them against Warilla. Christopher Hollingshead scoring another brace, and it was quite an unexpected result. And again, just proving here that Balgownie, there's certainly no pushover this year.
No, definitely not. That's their second win of the season, and sort of they're you know, equal on the amount of wins as University and Fern Hill, who were, you know, started the season so strongly and now sort of gone downhill from there. But yeah, massive result for the Rangers. We talked about that Rubilla could, you know, pick apart teams at times. And we looked at a couple of weeks ago where they beat Helensburg. So that's a very positive result for Balgownie. And they've got a very good player on their hands as well, with Hollingshead picking up another brace.
And the Foxes, sort of contrasting feelings heading into this one. 2 losses in a row, but they did go down in quite a high scoring game, that goal fest, 5-4 at Unanderra, with braces for Mitch Turner and Will Roberts. I mean, how much can we take really, though, from these 2 results here, losing to both Helensburgh and Unanderra, who are the top 2 sides in the division? I mean, it obviously, losing those games, it is perhaps a little bit more expected than against the other teams that they've played this year.
Yeah, look, it's never easy versing those sort of top teams if you're sort of in and around the, you know, the top 5 spot in Fern Hill's case. But I think they're very competitive in those 2 games up until a certain point. You look at back at that Helensburgh game, it was nil all at half time before, you know, Helensburgh sort of ran away with it in the second half. And it was 5-2 at one stage against Unanderra, but they still had the fight to come back in the end to bring it back to 5-4 as well. So I think the passion and the hearts also is definitely there in those 2 games. So probably just a little bit of a bump in the road for Fern Hill, and it's probably the perfect week to turn it around this weekend against Balgownie.
And will you be backing the Foxes here to get back to winning ways?
Yeah, I think I will, Tim. I'll back the Foxes in this one. I just think Dale White has really got a good sort of side on his hands in those last two games. Obviously, they were really competitive in patches, but if they can sort of stick out the full 90 minutes against, a Balgowny side, who are very good in times, I think they just have the quality to get above the Rangers and come away with the win.
I think for this one here, I'm actually going to say a draw between these two sides. I think that Balgowny, they're sort of on a bit of momentum at the moment. They did also go through in the Burke-Bampton Cup. So I think that they certainly can provide a bit of a task for a Fern Hill side that will be a little low on confidence after those two defeats in a row. And we will now look at the next game, Helensburgh against Berkeley at Rex Jackson Park. And looking at the Thistle, it is three wins from their opening four games, most recently a 5-1 win against Oak Flats with Liam Unicombe, Cade Kinsella and Brad Watts all on the score sheet. They have certainly responded well since that defeat to Warilla.
Wow, what a performance. 5-1 over the reigning premiers and champions in Oak Flats. Absolutely blitzed them in the first half. Yeah, I think they went into the Sheds up 4-1 in that one as well. So they've got plenty of confidence, plenty of free-flowing attack since that, loss to Warilla. And that's 8 goals in their last two games. So obviously that Warilla game was probably just an off day for them. And since then, they've turned it around against two top five sides. 3-0 win against Fernhill and then this 5-1 win against the Falcons. So a definite massive, massive result for them over the weekend.
And they'd probably fancy their chances this weekend against Berkeley. However, the Goats, they did respond to those three defeats in a row that they had, a 1-0 win against Kiama. What do you think they're going to offer in this game?
I think they might come in with a bit of confidence. I think after that 1-0 win against Kiama, I know it was a grudge match there and they got a late winner through James Walker. But you look at the reverse fixture last year, and that's when Berkeley actually broke their winless run over the year and a half. So that was up at Rex Jackson Park as well. So I think they might sort of look back on that game and fancy their chances in this one for another upset. But you never know in this one as well. And you never know what you're going to get with Berkeley if they're going to come out absolutely firing and cause something. And as well, Helensburgh are a very attacking side. So it'll be a very interesting one to see how it goes.
What are you going to say here for a prediction then?
Look, I just talked up Berkeley, but I think, Helensburgh have got the quality to get the job done in these types of games. And I mentioned last year, that was probably just another blip in the road as well, because they had that loss to Warilla just a couple of weeks ago. But Helensburgh, given their attacking form in the recent weeks, and they did have a comfortable win over Unidera in the Burke-Bampton Cup the other night as well, coming away as 10-1 winners in that one with Cade Kinsella. They scored four. He scored four as well. So they didn't play their B-side or anything like that. I think they're just absolutely free-flowing in attack in recent weeks. So I think they'll get the job done in this one as well.
I think I'll agree with you here for Helensburgh to win this game. I think that the run of form they are on at the moment, and they are scoring so freely here, I just don't think that they're going to let this Berkeley side get a result out of them this weekend. And in the penultimate game of the round that we will talk about, Thirroul against Warilla at Thomas Gibson Park. So the Thunder, they continued that positive momentum, a 1-1 draw with University. Dan Arthur did score for the third game running, and they have now gained 4 points in their past two games as opposed to zero from their first three games. That's a huge improvement, really.
Yeah, definitely turning it around a little bit. As I said, the teams go on that sort of slump of form before they have like one positive result, and they continue it from there in the next few weeks. So, that they can definitely pick up another result this weekend against Rubillo side, who are sort of the opposite for them, I believe. They started so strongly and they've sort of gone back-to-back losses since then. So I think it's a very good chance for Thirroul to make it two wins from their last three games.
And just focusing in here on the Wanderers, it is now two defeats in a row after that win against Helensburgh. Do you feel that they could potentially get back to winning ways here? Or do you think that, Thirroul, the form, the run they are on at the moment, they'll just, continue on with the momentum?
Yeah, look, both sides going into this one on different sort of forms. Warilla back-to-back losses after their, very positive start. They conceded those three goals against Balgowny on the weekend, which is actually the same amount as they conceded in the first four games. And they've versed some, very good quality sides in those games to start the season in, Helensburgh and Picton and even Unidera as well. So they'll be disappointed on that one. So it's definitely a good one to turn it around this weekend against Thirroul. But as far as a prediction, Tim, I might back Warilla in this one. We've seen their quality in games at the start of the season. And as I said before, with other sides, it's got to turn around sometime in their sort of low run of form. And I think this will be the weekend that Rilla are going to get the job done against the Rule.
I think I'm actually going to say the Thunder for this one. I think the momentum that they have been on after picking up that win against Balgowney will carry them through in this game, especially being at home here. And the final game that we will talk about is a grand final rematch, Unanderra against Oak Flats at Unanderra Oval. So the Hearts, they are the only side with a 100% record in the league to this stage. A 5-4 win against Fern Hill with Christian Plakius and Orkanaz both picking up a brace, and defender Brad Moreira also on the score sheet. I mean, they're certainly carrying a lot of momentum heading into this game against Oak Flats.
Yeah, 4 wins from 4 in their opening 4 games. Obviously, they're still going to play Helensburgh in a couple of weeks' time, but a very, very a strong attacking display against Fernhill on the weekend, scoring 5 of them. I think Rod Williams will be a little bit disappointed on the way they ended the game, conceding those 2 late goals to make it so close against the Foxes. But I think he will be happy with their attacking display. As mentioned, they only scored the 1 goal against Orilla the week prior, and then they put 5 on Fern Hill. So I think that's a very good positive sign. And they are also still in the FFA Cup fixture as well, that in round 5 too. So it's very positive sides for Unanderra as well.
Well, I mean, the Falcons coming off that 5-1 defeat against Helensburgh, do you think they might be a little bit worried heading into another game against a top side, considering the fact that they did concede so many goals last weekend against Helensburgh?
Yeah, look, very worrying signs for the Falcons. You know, 4 goals in the first half is unlike them. Again, given they're one of the best defensive sides in the campaign, even after last season as well. But their 2 losses have come from, you know, Helensburgh and University, and they've conceded 4 and 5 in those games as well. So it's very, very a very interesting point you make, because they have also conceded a goal in every game they've played this season. 1 against Kiama, 2 against Picton as well. So, you know, they are attacking still well, but they are very poor defensively, and they've conceded the 2nd most in the competition, even though they're sitting in 4th spot. So yeah, I think Coach Mark Vinton will definitely need to address that heading into another game against another quality side.
I think for this one here, I will be backing Unanderra to win. I think the run of form that they are on at the moment, they are at home and they seem to be scoring freely here, and they'll certainly be looking to try and, you know, take on an Oak Flats side here who have conceded a lot of goals so far this year. And I think this is a real opportunity for them to go and pick up a win.
I think I might agree with you that one, Tim. Just the quality that Unanderra have up front, and even how Oak Flats are very leaky at the back in recent weeks. I think they'll get the job done and really punish that Oak Flats defensive line.
And that does conclude the preview for the People Care District League this week. Nathan, thank you for joining me again.
No worries, Tim. Pleasure.
Taking a look now at round 4 of the Grange Women's Division 1, where all but one game was played on Sunday, as Wollongong United picked up a 4-2 victory against Shell Harbour away from home, as Albion Park earned a 5-3 victory against South Coast Flame at Terry Reserve. Thirroul edged past University White 1-0 at UOW Oval 1, as University Yellow picked up a 4-2 win against Winoona on UOW Oval 2. On Tuesday night, Kiama Quarries earned themselves a 4-0 win against Rilla Wanderers at Kiama Sporting Complex. Moving on to this weekend's fixtures, and all games will be played on Sunday, starting with University Yellow taking on Kiama at Coolabong Oval, as University White take on Shell Harbour later on that day at the same ground. Winoona will play Rilla at Ocean Park. Thirroul will take on Albion Park at Thomas Gibson Park. And in the later kickoff that night, South Coast Flame will play Wollongong United at Ian McLennan Park. And that does conclude the Football South Coast Weekly for this week. Make sure to follow Football South Coast on Twitter at FSC_official for live updates on the biggest matches across Illawarra football. You will also find match reports, previews, and reviews on there. My name is Timothy Gibson. Thank you for listening.